Hi everybody, welcome to a new Composer Talk. My name is Tim Hormans and I'm your host here on filmmusicsite.com. Today I'm talking to composer Brian Tyler. He's a composer of film music. He wrote the music to last year's Alien vs. Predator Requiem Partition War, and in 2008 he's composed the music for the fourth Rambo movie. And Brian has been very busy since our last interview in January of 2008 because he has written music for two major films. One is Bangkok Dangerous, starring Nicolas Cage, and the other one is DreamWorks' Eagle Eye, starring Shia LaBeouf and Michelle Monaghan. Hi Brian, it's great to talk to you again.
Yeah, good to hear from you.
So let's first start with Bangkok Dangerous. How did you get in touch with the Pang brothers, the directors of this movie?
Well, I was a fan of the original Bangkok Dangerous. And, you know, I had heard that it was being remade in Thailand with Nicolas Cage. And it was just something that really interested me. As you know, as just a film fan myself, so as things went, I talked to the producers and you know asked if somehow we could set up a meeting and with the brothers and see if we're on the same page, and just kind of one thing led to another, and they heard my music and well they had actually used my music I think in the temp. And they just, you know, they happened to be fans of mine as well, so it was a perfect fit. And we just got the ball rolling and started working.
And is this version much different than the 1999 version?
I would say it is quite a bit different. A lot of things have kind of been moved around. In a way, the idea is still the same. It's about the underworld, the criminal element in Bangkok, and kind of the how the underworld works there. But at the same time, our main character now and is essentially has the same restrictions as being deaf mute by basically being a guy that doesn't speak the language, that's completely out of his element in Bangkok, and he's a hitman, but he doesn't have the ability to kind of understand what's going on. So there is this fish out of water kind of element that has carried over. The new one has quite a bit of a feel of a tone poem as well, because of the introduction of the romance between him and a girl that is deaf mute. So there's this kind of a reimagining of the story. So there's a lot of similarities, but there's a lot of differences as well.
Mm-hmm. And musically, because for this version, you've composed a few themes. Hey? You have the big action theme, that's the assassin theme, and then there is a more emotional theme, Fonz theme. How did you come up with those themes?
That's a great question. I have no idea how that kind of thing really works inside my brain, but the way I go about it on any film is basically watching the film and sitting down and coming up with themes just based on the overall impression of the film. And what I saw, especially with Fonz's theme and the kind of the more emotional elements, that was the most surprising part to me, because I had no idea. I really didn't know what the film was going to be like, and I was surprised at how much of a kind of a meditative film it was. While it is an action film, I would say a good portion of it is also very meditative. Mm-hmm. So the idea of doing Fonz's theme was certainly something that I wanted to have, something kind of melancholy, both sad but uplifting at the same time. So it kind of goes back and forth from being, you know, it's basically melancholy, but also incorporating bells and Thai tuned bells and gongs and things in there in the theme. And that was that also carried over into the first piece on the soundtrack, which is called Bangkok Dangerous, which is more of an adagio version of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those were things that just kind of came naturally once seeing the story. It's just the only thing was that it was a bit of a surprise at the Fonz theme aspect of it. The assassin theme and the other kind of action pieces in the film, I knew that those were going to be a part of the world of Bangkok Dangerous. So that was more kind of what I was thinking I was getting into, but the other things were a surprise, which was great.
And were the directors specific in what kind of score they wanted for this movie?
Not really. They wanted, you know, they're very much directors that they shoot the film. They're great shooters, and they get the visuals down, and they do all that, and then they really put their trust in whoever they hire as a composer.
Mm-hmm.
So at least that was my experience. And, you know, they basically, you know, just said, do it.
Are they much different than American directors on the subject of music?
I would say so. I've only worked with a few American directors that really trust the composer that much.
Mm-hmm.
Where the system of checks and balances is often ruled by committee on American studio films, where you have so many people giving input, and it's, you know, it's kind of like trying to paint a portrait with, you know, 20 people standing behind you telling you how to paint the eyes and you know, a little bit of a smile or a little less of a smile and those kind of things. So in this case, it was really great. This was similar to how I scored Children of Dune, for instance, which there was a lot of trust there because I worked with the director before
mm-hmm.
on that as well. So that's kind of, I feel like I was able to really do what I wanted. Also, the scores I did for Star Trek, where it was pretty much, okay, we're hiring you because we really enjoy your soundtracks. Now go do what you do. And that's what Bangkok Dangerous score is.
Okay.
So I'm completely responsible. If someone doesn't like it, it's my fault. If someone likes it, it's my doing. In terms of the music, it was really all on me, and the producers were very supportive because I happened to have worked with those producers before, so they also trusted me to go ahead and just do the score and basically deliver it.
And Bangkok is an important part of this movie, and in your score you use a lot of Asian instruments. Did you play any of them yourself?
Oh yeah, the instruments such as percussion and the string instruments, like so many of my movies, I play it myself. The only thing that I didn't play in terms of instruments in the film was the orchestra itself, you know. All the percussion, you know, everything from the drums and the stringed instruments, those were all played by me. And there's a lot of interesting kind of instruments that were used in traditional dance music in Thailand, and the different small drums and metal drums and
mm-hmm.
Pitched drums, and also there's these two-string bowed lutes kind of things, these the Kurung Sai orchestras used. And so there's all these different things, and I had to actually learn a lot of them. And there's even a scene in the film where you see a group of traditional Thai musicians playing instruments to a traditional dance, and
mm-hmm.
and that's actually me playing all of those. If you watch the film, there was no sound when they actually recorded the scene, and I had to kind of be the band in a sense, which was all these very traditional instruments, you know, ancient types of things. So it was kind of fun. But that's part of what I love to do. What I really love doing is doing a film that's somewhere that I'm maybe not quite familiar with, and become more well-versed, and it gives me an excuse to go out and buy tons of instruments.
And as you already said, there's a lot of action in this film. When you create a big action piece for a film like Bangkok Dangerous, how do you record these things? Because there's a lot of percussion, and as you say, you play a lot of them yourself. So where do you start?
Yeah, it's kind of tricky because no matter where you start, it's going to be very incomplete when in terms of recording. So you really have to have the piece written in the traditional way. It has to be actually written so I know what I'm playing to, in a sense, in my head. So often I'll play the percussion first. Well, it kind of sounds strange for a while, maybe to the outsider, because it's percussion playing by itself, and I'm just layering myself in the studio, playing one percussion instrument after another. But I know what's behind. I know what the orchestra is going to be playing, so at least I have it running through my head while I'm playing the percussion. But something has to come first. Sometimes I'll also do a kind of a mock-up of the strings and the brass first before I play the percussion, for instance, or even kind of, you know, there's a lot of cimbalom in this score as well. Sometimes I'll start with that, even though it's, you know, a very kind of slight instrument. At least it gives me some kind of anchor, you know, which I'm standing right by now. It's the that, right, you know, that kind of thing. That, and sometimes it's just that much of something that small, just to give me a heartbeat, to give me the tempo for the rest of the piece. Like, so you know, it varies, but it is always kind of a tricky thing constructing these elaborate pieces around me being layered so many times, because there's only one of me, so I have to start somewhere.
Yeah, and talking about drumming, on YouTube there is a video where we can see you actually drumming in your studio. What was that all about?
That was kind of funny that went up. We were setting up for doing something for the DVD of Eagle Eye,
mm-hmm.
And showing kind of behind the scenes footage. And it was just that was my warm up. I was just kind of fooling around doing a warm-up exercises and things like that before the session actually started.
Yeah, because that was very impressive to see.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny. It's something that I've, you know, playing these instruments, piano and drums and guitars and things, I've been playing them all my life, and it just kind of comes naturally to me. But the thing I always forget is that people, I heard a lot feedback from that YouTube video, but most people don't actually get to see me play. You know, they hear the soundtracks, or they may see a video clip of me conducting an orchestra, but they kind of, it's interesting how it often comes as a surprise when you know, people actually see you doing it as opposed to hearing it. It's somehow it's a bit of a different experience, I think.
Now, the second film that you did is Eagle Eye, a film which is even more action-packed than Bangkok Dangerous, because when I got the two CDs, I thought, let's begin with Bangkok Dangerous, because that will be the action movie. But I was very surprised with the second one, because for this one contains also a lot of percussion. You've conducted an 88-piece orchestra, and you had more than 140 tracks of pre-recorded elements. That's even more complex than anything I think you did before.
Yeah, it is far and away the most complex score, because it just, there was so much going on, and it's one of those things. It's kind of a dual score. There's the elements of the modern elements and the percussion kind of thing going on, which it was very regimented, very precise and complex in terms of the patterns of the drums. So that was the reason why I did a lot of it ahead of time, because when I went to conduct the orchestra, although I had, I think, six percussionists on the recording stage, mm-hmm. the things that they were doing were more symphonic percussion, big hits and timpani parts and things like that. But for the really accurate, intricate kind of Moroccan percussion and things like that, there's just no way you can record that on the stage because it'll be too messy. Mm-hmm. If there's one error, I'll stop the take and it ruins the take for the rest of the orchestra. So there's just no way to record that. I'd have to also have probably, 30 or 40 percussionists playing with the orchestra. It was just, it's impossible. So that's kind of why there's so many tracks. And also there's a component of one of the main characters in the film, that Aria, that has her own sound, which was a really kind of complicated, thick layering of bells and tuned gongs and glockenspiels and things like that, some of them running forward, some of them running backwards, all that were also recorded ahead of time. Now, it was all done acoustically. It's not a particularly electronic score, although there's some electronic elements. The score is primarily acoustic.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of orchestra, it's actually kind of a fairly, more of a throwback score, more in the Williams style or Bernard Herrmann kind of style. I always saw the movie as an update of, kind of North by Northwest. And so I wanted to do something that had that kind of impact, kind of like, the opening credits of North by Northwest, which I so loved. It just has a kind of a really cracking, propulsive kind of feel, and that's what I was going for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the opening titles of North by Northwest is it's right in your face music. You can't when you see the film, you are obliged to listen to the music.
Yeah, and that was exactly, and by design, that was something that, DJ Caruso mm-hmm. wanted. That's something Steven Spielberg wanted. I mean, that's how we were all on the same page. How I saw it was the same way they did. So fortunately, that's something that they went by. The film is mixed, so you can hear the music. It is up front. It doesn't hide in the corner. It's not kind of sonic wallpaper. It has a definite feel of, hey, we're saying something with the music here. We're not hiding. So that was the drive of the tone of the film, in general. So I think people that are pro film score in terms of their movies will enjoy how the movie sounds.
And how was it for you to work with director DJ Caruso? What was his reaction when he first heard the score?
Oh, well, I think like any director, when you work with them at first, that before they hear it, maybe they're, a little nervous. We really got off on a great foot. We really hit it off in terms of, before I wrote the score, just talking about film and how we see film. But, it was one of those things that, I write something that I really believe in, so I really want the director to like it, and the director loves his film, and so he wants the music to be really good, and so he's nervous. But it was great. Once I played it for him, it was like, yes! He felt finally that someone, was able to breathe some new life in the film, because he had been editing the film for quite some time, and by the time he heard music. So he was well into the process. And he had been listening to the temp for so long, fortunately, in this case, it wasn't one of those things where they try to make you sound like a temp. He was just so thrilled to get rid of the temp finally and bring in music that was tailored for the film.
Mm-hmm.
And he really enjoyed all. It was great having him at the sessions, because he really, gets into the music. There was the live orchestra playing, and you know, being part of the whole vibe and the process of scoring with an orchestra is so great, and sometimes directors do miss out on that process because they have to be elsewhere doing other things, and so they kind of miss out. But he was able to see all that, and so was you know, Alex Kurtzman, who's great, and Bob Orsi. So it was and Steven Spielberg as well. The whole team was really into the music side of it. And that's always good to see, because I think, of course, I'm biased, but I think music is such an important part of films.
And is it correct when I say that the score for Eagle Eye is more driven by rhythm, a militaristic one, than Bangkok Dangerous, which is more team-driven?
No, I wouldn't say that, because Eagle Eye is... In fact, Eagle Eye has more of a central theme than Bangkok Dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually quite tricky in that I needed a theme that was kind of an emotional theme for Eagle Eye, but I wanted it to be that same theme could be played in an action, big, thrilling kind of way, which in Bangkok Dangerous actually did two different themes. I kind of had a motor kind of and thematic idea for the action bit, and then I had a completely separate theme for, you know, the emotional part of the film. Whereas in Eagle Eye, I wanted them to cross over, which is actually really hard to do, to find a theme that works as a quiet piano piece or a quiet string piece that can be played huge on brass and work. Often they are mutually exclusive. So I was very pleased with that aspect of kind of coming up with a way to do that. And so yeah, there's definitely, you know, really orchestral rhythms and, you know, really aggressive symphonic playing, but at the heart of it, Eagle Eye is thematic. Especially based on two themes, kind of the main character's theme, which is played in all those different ways, like I said. And then there's also a distinct, complete different musical presence for the character of Arya, who is this mysterious character that phones, you know, our main character, Shia LaBeouf, gives him instructions and orders, you know, what to do in order to keep running from the CIA and the FBI. So there's kind of two sides to it.
Mm-hmm. And how hard is it for you to keep getting fresh ideas when you're doing two action movies in a row?
Yeah, it's actually probably more than two in a row, huh? Yeah, because this came off the heels of Rambo, which came off the heels of Alien vs. Predator. So it was kind of Alien vs. Predator into Rambo and the Bangkok Dangerous into Eagle Eye. And now into, you know, Dragon Ball and Fast and Furious, which are also action. So there's a lot of action going around. But, you know, it's the thing that I focus on any of these action films is again, I start with themes, and thematically they just have to be, you know, very distinct from each other. And then the kind of the rest just happens naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's always like a tone and a drive to the films. You know, if you put Eagle Eye and Bangkok Dangerous right next to each other, they'd sound virtually nothing alike, except for maybe you know, some kind of stylistic thing that maybe you could pinpoint as my sound.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, I don't know, in fact, you would sense that this wouldn't happen, but somehow there's a style that kind of comes out, and that's because I think my role as a composer, I'm always following the film. You know, it's film first. The most important part of my composing process is the film itself. So as long as these films are different, the music will continue to be different.
And what can we expect of Dragon Ball and the Fast and the Furious?
Yes, Dragon Ball is, going to be symphonic, and have a much more magical feel, kind of a feel of whimsy, where Eagle Eye and Bangkok Dangerous, albeit different, they were both gritty, kind of realistic type of action films. Dragon Ball is much more fantastical. It has a, you know, it's kind of like a, I mean, if you follow the anime series, you know, it's almost like a combination of Transformers and Harry Potter, really, in terms of, not musically, but I'm saying in terms of the, just the tone of the story. So I need to reflect that and have a lot of whimsical kind of nature to it. The Fast and Furious is going to be much more modern. There will be orchestra, but it's going to be, you know, pretty modern. There's actually kind of a Latin flavor to it, which will be very different from the other things I've done. You know, there's kind of a, for instance, there's the Asian tone to Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. This takes place partly in Mexico, so it's going to be, you know, reflecting the region a little bit, you know, but it's going to be pretty macho as well, so, you know.
So maybe a new film to expand your percussion.
Yeah, exactly. There will be a different percussion, there will be different string instruments. We're using all sorts of, stomping feet and clapping hands and nylon guitars, you know, to kind of give it that.
And is it also correct that you will be doing the Final Destination 4?
Mm-hmm. Indeed it will. You know, I love Shirley Leapwalker, and it was, it's really, that's my tribute to her. When that came up, I feel that, you know, the themes of the original should be kept, and so that's something that I'm doing to kind of honor Shirley, and also just, you know, those movies are fun, you know, but you know, I think keeping the tone of the original score, but you know, obviously doing some new things for sure and expanding it, but it's something that I always, you know, really believe in. Whenever there's a film done from a franchise, especially when it's kind of revived, a franchise is revived, like Rambo or Aliens or any of these things, I always feel that, you know, the original intent should be there. And I think that's a signature part of the Final Destination series.
Okay, and I also saw on the Internet Movie Database that your name is attached to The Lazarus Project and The Killing Room.
Yes.
So
now these are completely different. These are really interesting projects for me because it shows a bit of a different side of me that I, you know, a style that I really enjoy scoring. For instance, The Killing Room is much more of a chamber piece. It's almost like a concert work. All classical style scoring, no electronics, very much kind of like a 20th century style classical work, sometimes distance, sometimes consonants, but always a kind of as a distant kind of memoriam feel of a piece, almost like a four-part symphony or five-part kind of symphony, mostly based around strings and kind of, even though this movie takes place in the modern era, the idea was to kind of have the music reflect propaganda, like from the mid-20th century kind of Cold War era paranoia in the score. So that's what that is. And then the Lazarus Project is a very intimate kind of personal score. I used vibraphone a lot, and I used a violinist, great violinist, Mia Matsumiya, and I played cello on that score quite a lot. And it's got string quartets, and it's a completely different style of score than, you know, obviously the larger action films that I do. So people will really enjoy that.
when you're doing all these films, is there still time for Brian Tyler himself?
No.
Okay.
No, there's a little bit. There's a
Yeah.
little bit. I get to, I like cars, and I like car racing, and I love basketball. So, there's a little bit of that going on, but not a whole lot. Most of my time is spent on music.
Okay, thank you very much for the interview. So the
Sure.
CD for Bangkok Dangerous will be released on September 16th, and then for Esther Bond will release Eagle Eye on September 30th.
Yes.
Thank you very much for the interview, and I wish you the best for the future.
All right. Thank you too.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.